Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Shalom Aleichem to all my white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. Now, I'd like to clear up a little controversy this morning. There have been some criticisms of some of the pastors on Eurofolk Radio using the name Jesus. His Hebrew name is Yahshua. Yah saves. To newbies, people that have never heard Christian identity before, they can't identify, they don't understand who Yahshua is. So sometimes some of the pastors will use the name Jesus. So they will get that light bulb turned on in the new people's head, and they will understand who Yahshua is. I don't particularly use that name. I have been calling him Yahshua for so long that it is just inherent in my speech that I use the name Yahshua HaMashiach. And I really get upset when I have to use the term God so somebody can recognize what Elohim is. But a lot of people don't have the education. They haven't studied Hebrew. They don't understand it. And when we use these terms, we have to tailor these broadcasts for people that are not as well-versed in things as the hardcore, long-time Christian identity person. We want to bring new people in. We don't want to run them off. We don't want to do off-the-wall false doctrine. We want to stay right by the scriptures, which is what my show is all about. Just scriptures, nothing but scriptures. Politics is going to settle itself. Yahshua is going to overthrow all governments when he comes back. We're in the process preceding his return right now, time of Jacob's trouble. And Yahweh has got this well in hand. He's got a grand plan for all of us, for his people Israel, true Israel, not the pretenders. Trust in Yahweh. That's all I ask you to do. Trust in Yahweh. Don't worry about horses and chariots and arms. That'll all, if we're to fight, that'll be provided. If Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? Who's going to be able to oppose us when Yahshua comes back? I mean, seriously. Think about it. Matter of fact, I'm going to grab my other scripture here. It's from the Scripture Research Institute. And I'm going to read my favorite passage for all those that are so worried about all this stuff. Let me get right to it here. And here we go. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting with verse 7. And to give you who are afflicted, that would be Israel right now, real Israel. We see how we're being afflicted. To give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yahshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim, and on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. So he's got this under control. He's got plans, very unpleasant plans, I might add, for our enemies, the enemies of all the white race of Israel. He's got it. Trust in him. I mean, he had the power to shed his blood and release his spirit. They couldn't kill him. He released his spirit to suffer death. And then he took his life up again. Who else has done that on their own? Yeah, he raised the dead. He raised some of them. And they lived out the rest of their normal life. And they were hated by the enemy because Yeshua had worked a miracle with them. Scripture says we are going to be persecuted in the last days. Well, here we are. Yahweh doesn't lie. It doesn't lie to us, and he doesn't even lie to the enemy. The devils know the gospel full well, and they tremble. And those that are oppressing us right now know the gospel full well, and they tremble. He is the Son of the Almighty. I mean, just, you know, really. He could have come down from that cross and brought legions of his avenging messengers right there and just slaughtered them all. But no, that was his Father's grand plan, to have that blood shed and have that life be lost, to cover over our apostasy for all time if we accept that sacrifice. And it just overwhelms me with joy that he loves us that much. And those of us that sleep in the dust will be resurrected. If I live to see his return, my physical body that I inhabit right now will be changed, and I will not be old and need glasses and have sinus trouble, and I will have new teeth, and I'll be able to hear right, and, you know, new mansion for the faithful. But faithful is the key. You have to believe. And then when you believe, you have to act on it. You have to live it. You know, you can't have one foot in this world and one foot in Yahweh's kingdom. It just doesn't work out well. That's lukewarm. And he said, if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out. Have zeal for him. Be zealous. Be an evangelist. Tell people about Yeshua and what he did and about his imminent return, and try to exhort them to righteousness and get them to repent. Now, everybody's not going to be perfect. As long as we're in these temples that we're in right now, these temporary temples, we're gonna make mistakes. I know I do. Mostly in my thoughts, not necessarily in my actions. You know, I'm still a man, even though I'm an old man. I see some babe walk by. I'm subject to that because I'm in this fleshly temple. And I look away when I can. But there's so much of it these days that it's sort of hard to look away. They're running around half naked out here. And that old fleshly temple's going to respond. You know, an old man is still a man. And yeah, we're gonna make mistakes, but he wants you to try as hard as you can. If you put your heart into it, he knows. He knows who loves him and who doesn't. He knows who's in the world and who's not in the world, who doesn't get along well, who is upset by the conditions that we see, all the sin and unrighteousness and mongrelization of our people by the enemy. But have faith. He's got it. Believe me. He's got it. He's got it covered. From the very beginning, he's had his plan, and it's coming to fruition. Praise Yahweh. All the way. He's going to take care of all these wrongs and make everything right. There's not going to be any righteous earthly government run by men. It's got to be Yeshua as the king once again. Samuel warned them when they wanted a king like the other nations. This is what these kings are going to do to you. And he told them right straight the truth, and they didn't want to believe him, and they've done it ever since. It's gone downhill from there. It was a mess with Shaul. Even David had his moments with Bathsheba and Uzziah. When he sent him to the front line to be killed, he took another man's wife, and Yahweh forgave him because of what he had planned for David and his line. So here we are today. Things have not changed all that much. Mankind is still sinning. Would that be us? And we just need to trust in him and go back to the worship of Yahweh and call on his name, not God or the Lord or any of this stuff that Judeo-Christianity, quote-unquote, is teaching you. It says clearly in Scripture, he who calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Not the Lord or God or any of those other stuff. And we try to teach the holy names here. The name of Yahweh for the most divine being. And the name of Yahshua that churchianity calls Jesus. They got the name wrong. But how are we going to familiarize those that are just starting to come out of churchianity unless we can have them relate to what we are saying as a teaching ministry? We have to care about them. We just can't demand that they instantly know all that we know that have been in it for a long time. They are babes in the faith, and they need to be given milk instead of just straight heavy meat at first. We have to remember that we didn't know this stuff at one time. Remember back when? Yeah, I was in the church. Praise God, I love Jesus. I didn't know. Not because I didn't want to know or I was sinful and I wanted to rebel. I just didn't know. And then some wonderful people turned me on to some stuff. And then I learned the name of Yahweh. And I learned the name of our anointed Redeemer, Yeshua. And it's just been wonderful. I've learned and learned and learned. And I listen to the other pastors on the Your Folk Radio, and I learn from them. And I get comments from some other folks in the chat room. People discover something and they put it up, and then I research it and I learn from the people in the chat room. We all help one another. That's the whole thing. That's what it's all about. Boom, boom. So we are in the book of Exodus, Shemoth. And we're in chapter 10, and we just finished up the hail coming down and killing a lot of stuff in Mitzrayim, which is Egypt. And I use Hebrew terminology to familiarize people with the Hebrew names of these nations. So when I'm speaking of Mitzrayim, I'm speaking of Egypt. That's the English term for Mitzrayim. So let's go into chapter 10, verse 1. And said Yahweh to Moshe, go in to Paro, because I have made heavy his heart. Pardon me. And the hearts of his servants, so that I might show these signs in his presence. And so that you may tell in the ears of your son and of your son's son what things I have done in Mitzrayim, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh. He's going to get his glory, and he's going to make a lasting impression on all the Canaanite nations around by just putting the whooping on the Mitzrayim, who were ruled at that point by the Hyksos kings. And he's going to wipe them out. Verse 3. And came in Moshe and Aharon to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says Yahweh, Elohe the Ibrim. That means the divine being of the Hebrews. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, so that they may serve me. Else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts, that's number 697 in your Strong's Concordance, into your territories, that's Gebulim, 1366, your territories, your borders. Verse 5, and they shall cover the surface of the ground, so that one cannot be able to see the ground. And they shall eat the remainder of that which escaped, 64:13, which remains to you after the hail, and shall eat every tree which grows for you out of the field. Verse 6, and they shall fill your houses, and the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Mitzrayim, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day they were on the land unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Paro. Verse 7. And said the servants of Paro to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, so that they may serve Yahweh Elohim. That means their divine being. Another version of 430. Do you not yet know that Mitzrayim is destroyed? And they're saying this to Paro. They're his servants, and they're saying, hey, you've been hard-hearted, and now we're wiped out. What's going on here? Verse 8, and were brought again Moshe and Aharon to Paro, and he said to them, go, serve Yahweh Elohim. But who are they that shall go? And said Moshe, we will go with our young and with our old, and with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, because we must hold a feast to Yahweh. Verse 10. And said he to them, let Yahweh be so with you, as I will let you go with your little ones. See to it, because evil is before your presence. 5048. Verse 11. Not so. Go now, you men, and serve Yahweh, because that you did desire. And they were driven out from before Parao. He was only going to let the men go. And said Yahweh to Moshe, stretch out your hand over the land of Mitzrayim for the locusts, so that they may come up upon the land of Mitzrayim and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left. Verse 13. And stretched forth Moshe the rod over the land of Mitzrayim, the rod that had turned into a serpent, and brought Yahweh an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Now the east wind was coming out of the desert. And locusts were a form of grasshopper. The word that they use for locust has several descriptions. They don't know exactly what species these locusts were, because there are several species that are classified in the locust class. And that is indeterminate at this time. But they were locusts, some type of locust that just, there were gazillions of them. Verse 14. And went up the locusts over all the land of Mitzrayim and rested in all the territories of Mitzrayim. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall there be such. Verse 15, because they covered the surface, 5, 8, 6, 9. And that is literally the eyes. They covered the surface of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, 2, 8, 2, 1. And they ate every plant of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained no green thing in the trees or in the plants of the field through all the land of Mitzrayim. They ate all the leaves off, ate up all the grass, down even to the stubble, down to bare earth. I mean, just there was just nothing left. Then called Parao for Moshe and Aharon in haste, and said he, I have sinned against Yahweh Elohechem and against you. And the word that they used for sinned there means to fall short of the mark for duty or responsibility. It's not like the sin of adultery or murder. It's a different type of word for sin, but it means falling short of the mark. Verse 17. Now therefore forgive, 5, 3, 7, 5. That literally means to lift up. But they use it to forgive. Now therefore, forgive, please, my sin, only this once. Oh, please. He says, this is not once, this is a repeat. And entreat Yahweh Elohechem, so that he may take away from me this death only. Because they were killing the land, the locusts were just killing everything. 18. And he went out from Parao and entreated Yahweh. Verse 19. And turned Yahweh a mighty strong west wind. That means from the Mediterranean Sea, it's seaward, which took away the locust and cast them into the Sea of Reeds, not the Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds, Yam Suf. And there remained not one locust in all the territories of Mitzrayim. Verse 20, but strengthened Yahweh the heart of Pharaoh so that he would not let go the children of Israel. Verse 21, and said Yahweh to Moshe, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that there may be darkness. 2822. Koshek. Over the land of Mitzrayim, darkness which may even be felt. 4959. Ooh. Verse 22. And stretched forth Moshe his hand toward the sky, and there was thick, 653, darkness in all the land of Mitzrayim for 3 days. Verse 23. Saw they not one another, and rose none from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They couldn't even light a light in their houses, but Israel could. Verse 24, and called Pharaoh to Moshe and said, go you, serve Yahweh, only let your flocks and herds remain. Let your little ones also go with you. Verse 25, and said Moshe, you must give us also sacrifices for burnt offerings, so that we may do this for Yahweh Eloheinu. Now, Eloheinu means our divine being. That's possessive, a plural possessive. And yes, I did take those herbs. Verse 26. Our livestock also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. Because of these must we take to serve Yahweh Eloheinu, and we know not with what we must serve Yahweh until we come there. In other words, Yahweh is going to tell them what they are to sacrifice. There we go. Verse 27, but strengthened Yahweh the heart of Pharaoh, and he would not let them go. Verse 28, and said Pharaoh to him, get you away from me, guard yourself. That's 8104, to keep watch over, to keep an ordinance, to guard the law, guard yourself. In other words, watch out. See my face no more, because in that day you see my face, you shall die. Okay. Here it comes, verse 29. And said Moshe, you have spoken well. I will see your face again no more. Double-edged sword there, Pharaoh. Buddy, buddy, buddy. Oh, forgive me this once. Well, okay. You just keep spitting in the face of Yahweh, you're gonna get it. Pharaoh keeps trying to limit who can go. But finally, Moshe just tells him, all of Israel go, period. All our livestock, all our kids, everything we own, we're going. And this sets the stage for chapter 11. In verses 14 and 15 of chapter 10, you can reference Revelations chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. And in verse 15, you can reference the book of Yashar, which is the book of Jasher in English, chapter 80, verse 33. Verse 22, you can reference Psalm 105, verse 28, Revelations chapter 16, verse 10, and the book of Jasher, chapter 80, verse 36. Now let's go into the short little 10-verse chapter of chapter 11. And said Yahweh to Moshe, yet I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Mitzrayim. Afterward, he will let you go from here, but when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out from here altogether. Chapter 11, verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man ask, that's 7592, from another person, and every woman from her associate, 7268, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. All right, the word they use for jewels is items, things, implements, they use it as jewels, but silver items and gold items like jewelry. He told Abraham back when he prophesied to him that when his people left this foreign land they were going to be subjugated in, that they would plunder it when they left. Well, here is Yahweh's word coming to pass. And they're going to get all the stuff from the Mitzrayim. They're going to plunder them. Verse 3. And gave Yahweh the people favor, 2580, that's grace, in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. Moreover, the man Moshe was very great in the eyes of the servants of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of the people. They were impressed by Moshe, where Pharaoh was not. Pharaoh was an arrogant Hyksos ass. And he was going to get it put on him. Verse 4. And said Moshe, thus says Yahweh, speaking to all the Israelites, about midnight, I will go out into the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 5. And all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill. 7347. And all firstborn of beasts. Now that's 929 for beast, and that means four-legged and two-legged beasts. because Hebrews called the non-Adamics beasts. That was a derogatory term. If they had a Hebrew servant, bond servant, they were let go in 7 years, but the beasts were permanent property. They were not under that law. Verse 6. And there shall be a great cry, 6:8:1:8, throughout all the land of Mitzrayim, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. Verse 7. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Another derogatory term. Dogs, beasts, non-Adamics. But against children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. From man or beast. And that is man there, which male gender specific. Me'ish 3:7:6. That is not Adam. That's why that's translated man here, not Adam. That's a 3:7:6 man. So that you may know that Yahweh puts a distinction, 6:3:9:5, between the Mitzrayim and Israel. Amen and amen. Verse 8, and all these your servants shall come down to me and bow themselves down. At 7:8:1:2, to prostrate in front of him, saying, get you out and all the people that follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Parao in a burning rage. He warned Parao what was coming. He was speaking to Israel. He was speaking to the Mitzrayim, telling them what was coming. Verse 9. And said Yahweh to Moshe, Parao shall not listen to you, so that my wonders may increase in the land of Mitzrayim. This is going to be the final blow, and this is going to terrify the other lands all around Mitzrayim who had spies there watching and seeing what's going on. They had merchants, the Canaanites had, well, that's another word for merchants, is Canaani. And they had the merchants watching what was going on in Mitzrayim. And they were going to take all the news back that you won't believe what the God of the Hebrews did. Listen to this. And the fame is going to spread all over. Verse 10. And did Moshe and Aharon all these wonders in the presence of Parao, and strengthened Yahweh the heart of Parao so that he would not let the children of Israel go forth from his land. He was using Parao, this Hyksos, part Hittite, as a tool. He's used evil people and bad kings and stuff as tools to punish Israel later on in Scripture. Well, he's using Parao, who was a pagan, horrible, murdering scum, And he's using him to get glory on him and to terrify the nations where Israel would be going . He wanted to do the very worst of the worst on these wicked people and destroy their rule. Well, later on, shortly after this, Egypt got conquered. We had a discussion, Eli and I did that on the air the other night, about who came in, about the Amorites. They were going to fall shortly, because his whole army is going to be destroyed. And in verse 5 of chapter 11, you can reference the book of Jasher. That's the book of Jasher, chapter 80, verse 41. Now, we've got chapter 12 coming up. And in all honesty, it is a long chapter with 51 verses, and it describes the Passover and the Exodus, and I really cannot do it total justice in one session. I'm going to get into it, and then I am going to pick the rest of it up tomorrow. I don't think I can get through all of it, because it's pretty complicated. I've got a lot of comments I have to make on it. But we will get into it right now. Chapter 12, verse 1. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Mitzrayim, saying, verse 2, this month shall be to you the beginning, 7218, of months. It was the months of greening, the green month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now that is Abib. It means the green month of greening, the green month. So that's the reason for that. Speak to you. Speak you to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their forefathers, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of people. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now these are the Passover lambs. Who is the final perfect Passover lamb? Without blemish, Yahshua HaMashiach, and he was killed on the evening before Passover. This is a foreshadowing of what is to come with the final redemption of Israel by the living Son of Yahweh of hosts. So this is a foreshadowing. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, as Yahshua HaMashiach was without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And Yahshua Messiah died at twilight, the evening. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood, 18:18, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, the lentil, in which they shall eat it. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, 6, 7, 4, 8, and matzot, 4, 6, 8, 2, that is unleavened bread with no, doesn't rise, it's flat. And with bitter herbs, that's horseradish, 4, 8, 4, 4, maror. Verse 9, do not eat it raw, nor sodden at all with water. In other words, don't boil it, but roast with fire. Its head and its legs with the inner organs of it, 7130. You don't even gut it, you just roast it. Verse 10, you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. And that which remains until morning you shall burn with fire, because it is holy. Verse 11, and this way you shall eat it, with your loins girded, loins 49.75, girded 22.96. In other words, you got your clothing on, and everything ready to go, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. 2, 6, 4, 9. It is the Passover, 6, 4, 5, 3, to Yahweh. And Passover is Pesach. Verse 12, because I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, both Adam and beast, that's 9:29, and against all the Elohim, that's small e, 4:30, of Mitzrayim, I will execute, 6:213, judgment, 8:201. I am Yahweh. The small e Elohim means the mighty ones of Mitzrayim, their pagan statues, their rulers, all everything that they considered mighty, he was going to put down. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a sign, 2:26, on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass, 6:4, 5:2, over, 5:9, 2:1, you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy, 4:8, 8:9, you. When I smite the land of Mitzrayim. 14. And this day shall be for a memorial, 21:46. And you shall keep it as a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance, 2708, forever. That is why we of Christian identity celebrate the Passover. And we use it as a Christian ceremony because all of this has been fulfilled with the death and resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach. He fulfilled the Passover. No more reason for blood sacrifice. And we celebrate it in a day of joy and a big feast, and we praise his holy name. Verse 15, 7 days you shall eat matzot, that's unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven, that's yeast, 7603, from your houses, because whosoever eats chametz, that's leavening, 2557, from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off, 3772, from Israel. Literally cut off, die, cast out, you're not with us, get ye hence. Verse 16, and in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. Holy is 6944. Convocation is 4744. That is a high Shabbat. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them except that which every man must eat. That only may be done by you. Verse 17, and you shall observe the feast of Matzot, for in this same day I have brought your host, 6635, meaning armies, out of the land of Mitzrayim. Therefore you shall observe, that's 8104 again, to keep, to guard, to observe, this day in your posterity by an ordinance forever. That means now, folks. We still observe this if we are truly Israel. 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, 6153, you shall eat matzah until the 21st day of the month at evening. 19. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, because whoever eats that which is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or born in the land. We are to enforce this even on people that are not of our people in our territory. If you're going to eat leaven, get out of our territory. Verse 20, you shall eat no kametzeth. 2557, that's leavening, anything with leavening. In all your habitations you shall eat matzot. And we're going to stop right there. That is the words of Yahweh. And we'll draw the line right there. And I'll pick up on verse 21 tomorrow, because this is a long chapter with a lot of things in it. We keep this feast today. It has not been done away with at the cross. It has been amplified at the cross, if you want to call it a cross, the stake, the impalement. Because he fulfilled the duty of the Passover lamb. And he has covered over our sins in a one-time grace period for the redemption of the nation of Israel. Eli and I have covered this before, but I need to reiterate it for those who didn't hear that broadcast. This is a blanket redemption for Israel. Some will come under that blanket redemption because they accept it and they realize who Yeshua Messiah is, what he did, why he did it, and what was the result of his actions. There are other people, even though they are of Israelite descent, that do not accept that, and they exclude themselves from the redemption by Yeshua Messiah. Those who don't believe, don't want to believe, will reject it. That's on them. We are not puppets. He has given us free will. He's not making us dance around like little marionettes, because he wants willing, obedient children. He wants to give us the choice. And we have that choice. And what we try to do here is to exhort people to make the right choice, to call upon the name of Yahweh and thank him for the redemption given by Yeshua Messiah at the stake on Calvary. When he surrendered his spirit, he released it. They couldn't kill him. He had to do that willingly. That was a willing, loving gift to us. From him, he took our sin upon himself. Boy, oh boy. He laid his life down for us. Laid it down. He who was divine in the flesh of a man. Now you say Yahweh is mean. No, he's just. He's bound by his own laws because he's perfect. He cannot be less than perfect. It's just not possible. He is what he is. Hayah, Asher, Hayah. I am what I am. I will be what I will be. I will become what I will become. He can't become less than perfect because he is perfect. You know, you can't change a granite boulder into a chicken egg. It's a granite boulder. Well, Yahweh is Yahweh. He can't be less than Yahweh. We keep trying to downsize Yahweh to fit our own small conceptions. That's a mistake. We can't do that. He is so vast and all-encompassing and so powerful, we can't conceive of him in his entirety. We are just not capable of it. So we try to downsize him in our ego. We want a God that we can handle. Well, sorry, folks. That's not Yahweh. You're not going to handle Yahweh. You can't downsize him so that you feel comfortable. You have to be submissive and you have to be humble and you have to love him, because even his love for us is so overwhelming that it's too much sometimes. It overwhelms you and you just fall to your knees and raise your hands and praise. It's too wonderful to even describe in the English language or in any other language. He is, and that's enough. I can't stress that enough. He's so magnificent. Just so magnificent and so loving. And so long-suffering with all our continuing sin that we have done over all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Hard-heartedness, stiff-necked Israel. And he still loves us. Because he's our Father. And the Father loves his children. So, there's only one way to go to the Father, and that is through Yeshua HaMashiach. And none comes to the Father unless he calls them. And if he calls you and you hear his voice, go closer to him and call upon his holy name, Yahweh. And recognize that Yeshua, his only begotten Son, is the Redeemer for our race of Israel. And it was done through love. It is overwhelming, permanent, forever love. So, until tomorrow, where I will pick up at verse 21 in chapter 12, I will say, Yahweh bless you and Shalom Aleichem to all my Israelite brothers and sisters out there. And This show is recorded and will be rebroadcast on Eurofolk Radio. And it's on TalkShoe Reserve. It's on Shar's website, Yahweh's Followers. It's on YouTube. David James has got links to it on his site on YouTube. It's all over the place. Shalom Aleichem, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. fall.